then. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for being here on election night. Gary, would you do the attendance, please?
Sure. Chairman DeLong?
Here.
Deputy Chair Corcoran?
Here.
Legislator Criswell?
Here.
Legislator Parity?
Here.
Legislator Warren?
All right. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes and transcripts of the October 6th meeting?
I'll make that motion, Corcoran.
I'll second. All right.
Thank you. All in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
All right. Dr. Roberts, you're on.
Well, I hope everyone's doing well. We opened our registration on the 26th. It's coming in steadily. We were down 8% for the fall semester, which we anticipated. We knew there'd be challenges, but we're getting better at what we're doing. And we got a pretty good system designed for delivery. We got 8 different modalities that I think Jerry knows very well. He's worked with Kevin on putting these together, and it's where a student now that registers is going to understand what the delivery method will be to the very specific. We'll know when they have to come to class, if they don't have to come to class, whether it's going to be video, synchronous, asynchronous. So we spent a lot of time in the fall getting this right, but we're hoping things turn around in the spring. One good note, though, we were recognized as the business of the year by the Chamber of Commerce, which really was a surprise. And that was a nice event. We did it by Zoom, and it was nice to be recognized in that way. We have Jamie will cover some things tonight as far as testing. Testing has probably been the most challenging because SUNY system has changed the requirements relatively on a daily basis. You know, we got one Monday, then this morning we got another update, and we have to test everyone who comes on campus every other week. And it's pretty painless. They do pool testing, which means 12 people get tested in one test. And if their pool comes out negative or positive, they then have the individual swabs and they can test each one individually to find out who was positive or if a couple were. So we've gone through a couple rounds of that and everything's come out fine. They've all been negative, but we expect as the fall semester continues it to get more challenging. So we're gonna keep that up, and I'll turn it over to Jamie and she can give you a little more details in regards to the testing and some of the other challenges and some finances. She has a black screen, but you're gonna see her. You won't see her.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My camera suddenly stopped working. So we'll work with IT on that front. But as Dr. Ryle said, we are doing the pooled COVID testing. So far, we've done about 200 to 250 tests through the pool testing. What's really unique and pretty amazing about the pool testing approach, as Dr. Ryle said, it's 10 to 12 individuals in the pool. That pool is then run by SUNY Upstate Medical. And then SUNY Upstate Medical takes the individual swabs and will rerun those in the event of a positive pool. That dramatically reduces the downtime between a positive pool identified and an individual diagnostic test. And that's really important for us and for our campus community. As we look at our students, we don't want them to be unnecessarily quarantined if they are not the individual positive within that pool. That will impact, obviously, their work, impact school. So it was really important for us to work with Upstate Medical and make sure that turnaround is very quick. Upstate Medical is turning the test around to us within 24 to 48 hours. So they're keeping up with the test, logistics as they outlined, which has been fantastic. We are required to do 100% of our on-site student population the week before Thanksgiving. And then we will be doing it again the week before the December holidays. This is really to make sure that our on-site student population aren't bringing COVID out to other communities, to other family members who they may be visiting. This feels more like a 4-year college model where the students are in dorms and then they're all going back home. But we also have to recognize and be cognizant that our students are traveling. Our students may be going to visit friends and family afar, or maybe having friends and family come to visit them. So it is a really good approach. We're in support of making sure that all of our students get tested during those time periods. We are also going to be deploying re-entry testing. So this will be testing for students as they come back on site for spring. Again, we're looking at a model, and I know Kevin and Jerry are running lots of numbers to determine our on-site population potentials for spring. But students who are coming on site for any face-to-face components, such as lab components, clinical components, those students would be required to be tested within 3 to 5 days of re-entry to campus. So we'll be gearing up for another testing round as we start back up in spring. And again, it's just really important as we look at what's happening in our county and our country to make sure that we're staying on top of the testing and that we make sure our students are safe on site.
Needless to say, it's been a very overwhelming endeavor for us to jump into something this without having the resources. And I want to give kudos to Jamie. Jamie spends probably 14 hours a day ensuring that it's done properly. So she did an outstanding job.
Well, quick update on finance side. We are still in a pause situation. The state has not announced if they will provide the 20% from the fourth quarter from the prior year yet. And they still have not announced if there will be an official state aid reduction for this fiscal year. Again, everything is very contingent on what happens tonight and this week. And we're all in a pause pattern, awaiting hopefully some guidance from the state. And obviously, depending on what happens in the federal election, if there will be a state bailout package. So all of that is contingent upon the state, and the Division of Budget has not yet announced their full production plan.
Okay. Well, welcome, Mary. I'm going to have to turn your volume down on the phone. I think
I need to turn the other phone off.
Yes. Well, thank you, Jamie.
Absolutely.
Any questions? None. If you two would mind hanging out for a bit, and you can comment upon resolution 382 for us. So yeah. Great. So I'll move over to Veteran Services Agency Director, Mark Cazzapoli.
Yes.
Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
So you're here to speak to us with respect to, the budget review?
Yes. So you see what the 2021 executive recommendation is, and that's the budget we're requesting to continue performing all the services that we provide for our veterans. Everything from helping them with simple benefits and paperwork to dealing with veterans in crisis who present either with present as homelessness or present with addictions and things of that nature. So we cover pretty much the full gamut as much as possible to ensure that we can get the veterans to the best and safest place possible. And we're a conduit to get those veterans connected to the resources that can truly help them and make sure that they're in a safe space. So first year that I'm doing this is, I'm not sure exactly what else you would request of me. I'm here to answer any of your questions on the budget.
Does anyone have a question, by the way?
Yeah, I just a thought. The Veterans Home on Broadway, what kind of attendance do you have there, or the population?
We average about 4 veterans. You can house up to 8 there. And we do have a house manager on site that's provided by Soldier On. Currently, we have 3 right now. But we're expecting two more to go in very shortly.
Thank you.
So we're never over, we're never continuously riding with eight, which is really good. It's positive, obviously, but it's also good that we're always have space available for those last second needs, you know, that maybe present at Friday, 5 o'clock.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Has there been any uptick in services with COVID?
Not necessarily with COVID, no. The ramifications of COVID, I think, affects veterans the same way as it does the rest of our citizens, you know, with just with work, paying bills and things of that nature. I think there is certainly an uptick there, but nothing that's more at a higher percentage, let's per se, than your average citizen.
Mark, I believe it was the last meeting, there was a question with respect to the veterans home and why it was only for males. And we're just wondering what happens in the event that there's a female veteran in crisis.
No, I did. I read that in the minutes, so I was going to bring that up myself, but thank you. So, yeah, the Patriot House project there, it is for males only because it is a community living environment, and it's not a safe place potentially for a female veteran, because even though we're doing background checks and we're doing our best to ensure that these are veterans that are on the uptick or turn the corner or need the transitional home, it's not in the contract, it's not something Soldieron would want to manage, and it's not something we would be comfortable with. However, with female veterans, which we've had a couple even recently, we have other organizations that we have as resources to help place all veterans. And we do male and female. West Cop is one of them, and Soldieron is the other. So if a female veteran comes to the office, we do their background check, we see what their eligibility is as a veteran, and then we can contact one of those organizations. Because they're both granted through the state SSVF fund, and then they can place them for up to 30 days. And then we can get it continued on after the 30 days if necessary. But so we have immediate emergency housing for any veteran. It's just, you know, females not in the Patriot House.
Mark, are the females placed in Ulster County?
When we can get them in Ulster, yes. Sometimes they end up in Newburgh or in some places in Orange, but also in Saugerties. The Wenton Inn has been one of them, and the Super 8. But we try to keep them as close to Kingston as possible because, you know, we want them to be able to get to us and us to get to them, you know, to help them with additional resources. That's just the start. Once we get them in a place to stay, then we, you know, we try to take it from there to get them back on their feet.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? All right. Well, Mark, I appreciate your stopping by and filling us in.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody's time. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll move on to resolutions. Resolution number 382, authorizing an intermunicipal agreement for consulting services for procurement of goods and services between the County of Ulster and the SUNY Ulster. Jamie, do you want to handle this?
Absolutely. So this is a shared service contract between the college and the county. This is for purchasing services. So this is something that I spoke about through my budget presentation, and our board is very excited to enter into this agreement with the county. This will really we'll be working with the county on all procurement. The county, as you know, has an amazing purchasing department run by Ed Jordan. We'll be working with Ed on procurement. This will also enable us to do more bid pricing and to include some of our bid specs into the county's bid specs to reduce the cost of items on a per unit basis. Again, we're mostly purchasing the same things: paper, pens, supplies, The county goes out for bid for those items and has a whole list of items that are just on the commodity bid pricing market. So we'll be working with purchasing department to take advantage of some of that, and also working with Ed and his team for their expertise in purchasing. We had a vacancy in our purchasing director who resigned about a year ago. And that created the opportunity for us to really rethink how we're doing purchasing and to really think about strategic and unique ways that we can get purchasing done. And it made sense to start conversations with the county at that point. SUNY is very excited by this proposal. They're really working with all of the community colleges on shared services and really starting all of the community colleges to think through what opportunities are out there. So SUNY is very excited to see how this works out with us with purchasing. We are, I think, the only community college at this point who has entered into a shared service agreement with their county for purchasing.
It'll be a great savings for us. We're really excited about it. It just makes so much sense.
It does. Great. Well, do I have a motion? Any questions?
Do you do that for insurance, Doctor?
We don't, but we're looking at everything right now. We're looking at technology, we're looking at insurance, we're looking at plowing the roads. Mm-hmm. We're duplicating so much for no reason at all. But Jamie, this is our first step out toe in the water, and it looks like it's going to go well. So there'll be more coming down the line.
I just had a quick question. One thing I probably could have seen it in the contract, but is it a calendar year contract or is it on your fiscal year, or what's the terms in that?
So this is going to start on the calendar year basis. We are currently working with the county already on some of this, so there might be a little bit of an overlap, but we're aiming for the calendar year approach.
Great. And it's renewable annually?
Yep. So we worked with Ed a bit on that. At this point, since we're diving in kind of sight unseen, we don't know exactly how much time the county's going to need to put towards to assist us in purchasing and how much we're going to need them. So we base this on an approximation of hours and obviously on the salaries of the staff within the department. And then we're going to reevaluate this as we get up to the renewal cycle to see kind of how's it going. Is it more time than we thought it would be? Is it less time than we thought it would be, to kind of have that open dialogue?
So we'll see this again in next year.
You will. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Oh, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Good move. Yeah. All right. So do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion, Corcoran.
All right. I'll second that.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Well, thank you both. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye now. Resolution number 426. Amending the policy for funding non-county organizations, Ulster County Legislature. Get a motion on this?
I'll move it.
A second?
Sure, I'll second it.
Any discussion?
I had a question. Sure. I brought something up. This has been cooking now for a little while, right? I remember I brought something up regarding specifically, the language in this says that these non-county entities have to be nonprofit organizations. And I don't know if you guys remember, but I brought up the idea that there are social benefit companies that are not necessarily nonprofit organizations. And I was wondering how that kind of would play into this conversation. Remember, I talked about B corporations, and there's actually several legal entities that are kind of hybrids now of the nonprofit model. So they're not technically 501c3s, but they still are, the mission is the same. There's social benefit, there's just a different structure. Do you remember me bringing this up when this came up initially?
To be honest with you, I don't.
Okay.
And I would guess an entity like that would be referred, according to this language, right to Ways and Means, that this resolution only speaks to these few organizations under our purview.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
please.
Could you just explain it to me a little bit under your purview? Because this appears to be a change that these contract agencies or program agencies will no longer come to you, except for the few that are mentioned in the resolution. Is that correct?
That's how it appears, yes. And I think these specific ones, as a result of a previous resolution, which we somehow all discussed and voted upon.
Well, I didn't know it was permanent. I know I voted no. But do you support this, Mr. Chairman? I mean, because you're kind of eviscerating this committee. And I understand that the ways and means get the brightest and the best of us. I know that. But I mean, I'm looking at the list. And what happens if the Shadowland in Ellenville wants something, or Frost Valley up in the mountains, or the Shandaken Theatrical Society, the Mount Tremper Arts, the Marble Town Historic? They all go right to Ways and Means, and they don't come to be vetted by this committee anymore. I mean, I could go on and list the Kahungsan Rescue Squad, the Boys and Girls Club of Kingston.
Right.
They will know. So in other words, the Ways and Means will be taken over. Why don't they just take everything over then?
I think they did, John. And we're at least getting these back. That's a fight for the future.
Well, the resolution where they moved it was theoretically because of the pandemic, even though they never did a thing toward, for instance, in the highlighted contract for the college. The purpose of this agreement, the college shall act as a department of the county. Well, the legislators are a branch. Are they using due diligence? There are 1,700 or thereabouts non-for-profits in Ulster County. Are they going out and finding which ones could offer the best services for what they're doing? I haven't seen anything like that. Some folks seem like they come back year after year because they're friends of friends. Yeah. I will vote. I guess you're telling me that the vote last year in March or whenever it was to transfer it over was a permanent thing, not just for this year.
Yes. And I don't think it was last year. I think it was more recent than that. It might
have been last year. But, you know, listen, March is last year to me.
OK. Yeah.
I mean, I did not know. I was under the assumption, I guess I didn't read it accurately enough, that because of the pandemic and what to do and they would bring it to them. So why don't we just cede it all to them? I mean, that's one part of the business that the committee could close down. I'm asking it rhetorically because I don't have enough information on this to vote yes. Why would we want only, the arts, Bardavon, Cornell Cooperative, Dispute Resolution Center, and not Shadowland from Ellenville, not Frost Valley? Let's say the Olive First Aid or Rescue Squad or the fire department need a new vehicle because people fall down on the rail trail and break their leg and they don't have the cash for it. That would not go to us anymore. That goes only. So why keep these then? I don't understand the rationale behind why we would want these. Just let them do it.
I don't disagree with you, John. It is disappointing.
I think we should fight it then if you're disappointed, and I'll stick with you.
All right, Mary?
Well, I feel that with Ways and Means, all these different organizations only are allowed like 5 minutes to present. And we basically have a history and a good background on how the programs are. So
well, you're right.
To do it right, there's a 990 form. You got to know where their funding stream is coming from. How much do they pay in taxes? Are they totally tax exempt? What's the basic strength of it? What if some of them have some taxable entity In other words, they're getting paid by taxes. They're getting their funding. And I guess it doesn't matter to me, but it certainly seems like something's wrong when they don't include, and nobody in the years I've been around have gone out and solicited for youths, for anybody else in this little group that comes out. And you got the, again, I'll go back, Shadowland Theater, Frost Valley, where they have 50 to 75 employees and bring youth and young people and others from around Ulster County and around the state. And I could go on and list a whole bunch of people. Now, again, I'll repeat it. The best and the brightest, I guess, are on the Ways and Means, and maybe the rest of us don't have we can't process it out. But I don't understand the purpose behind them. Setting a resolution, Jim, I'm sorry, I missed
it. No, that's okay. I'd like to hear, Peter, what do you
think? I'm gonna agree with John on this. I feel like this committee has a very long name, and we should encompass all the different components that this name holds. And so why limit it to a handful of programs? I don't really understand that.
All right.
Chairman's so joined us.
What's that?
Chairman Donaldson's here.
Oh, good. Dave?
There's, yes.
Thanks for stopping by. There's been discussion with respect to this resolution regarding legislative programs and why the programs under our purview are now limited to just these few, when in fact there are many organizations out there, and we would then be limited in any kind of action. So just like to hear from you why it's just these few.
What, the few that are on there, what are they again?
They are Community Services Committee for Hudson, Barvon, Ulster County Action, Dispute Resolution Center, and Family of Woodstock.
Yeah, it should be all the ones that we had previously.
I would agree with that. And I think Legislator Parity brought up, you know, an important point, and that is that there are others out there. There's something like 1,600 nonprofits in Ulster County that, you know, from time to time we might want to engage with or to put out RFPs for. So this resolution would, you know, restrict us from doing that.
Well, right now there is absolutely nothing going to the committee, isn't there? I mean, all the things went over to Ways and Means.
Correct.
And so what the resolution was attempting to do, and maybe when I drew it up, I wasn't thinking that part of it out, but I drew it up to bring back the things back into legislative programs. And one of the problems I had is I got calls from a number of the, you know, the agencies that we deal with, and their concern was that they got 5 minutes to talk in Ways and Means, and you know, sort of in their concern that judgments are being made on that 5 minutes, when in fact, as you know, you've been on this committee for a while, and I've always served on that committee, you know. Yes. when I wasn't the chairman, I've always served on that committee, and you know, we've always, as you know, we have visited the various sites. Now, of course, this year for the newer members, they don't realize that because, you know, because of the COVID. But, you know, if it wasn't COVID, you would have probably had 3 or 4 visits already in various sites. Cornell Cooperative, I think in over the last 4 years, I think we visited maybe 7-8 times, and actually yes, probably 6 different programs. And we visited them, you know, I remember having a meeting at Community Action, having, you know, and those types of things. So we, this committee actually knows the ins and outs of what they're talking about. Whereas, and nothing against Ways and Means, they don't. And it, I believe it got passed this the last time when this was voted on, and it got sent over. So Ways and Means was the ones that become the ones that oversee these agencies. And that was the which I got caught up, as you did, Jim. We didn't realize when they would put it in that that's what was on it, you know. So we kind of thought that, we love oversight. Well, no problem with oversight. But then we didn't realize that what ended up happening is it basically gutted this committee, which, you know, like I said, this is a committee that really dwells into it, knows what they do. So, it, you know, it should be the ones that recommends one way or the other.
Well, I want to say, Legislator Donaldson, that I appreciate your doing this on behalf of the committee and at least, you know, attempting to get some of this back. But, you know, there are some holes in this that we're concerned about. So could you amend the resolution?
Well, you amend it any way you wish. I would agree with the amendment.
May I?
Please.
Dave, you know, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I acknowledge that maybe I didn't read the resolution, that it was a permanent thing. I believe I voted no to transfer it over. But before you were here, and I won't go through the litany of good non-for-profits. No, let's say they're all good. And to eviscerate this committee where it's just absolutely incorrect. And I don't know what the purpose was. The purpose, and in my own shallowness, I understand, but it seemed like it was snuck through when maybe this little committee, as we sit here, had a disagreement about a couple of the non-for-profits to fund, and I get that, but I don't know what the purpose was. So if we're going to eviscerate the committee, do it all the way, or let's fight to get it back. And right. I say that in all respect to you and to Chairman Jim and the rest of the committee, if in fact that's what they want to do. Or I mean, it's pretty tough to. I don't know how to vote on this.
I think if Jim, if you guys have amendments to them, I will. I'm good with the amendments. My mindset was I wanted to make sure that this ended up getting back in. This committee. So those items could be back into this committee. So this committee could then, gauge those, various agencies and, you know, what they do. And I think this is the committee that should do that. As you know, I read, you know, Legislator Cochran or Legislator Criswell has not been, you know, privy to the all the times that we've gone to these various places. In fact, Mary Waro served on Cornell Cooperatives, on their board. And we've always had a, you know, pretty intimate relationship with these various agencies. And we've cut them sometimes and added to them at points, but we're the ones that understand it. For instance, with the arts, where people don't realize how we got to where we are with the arts, and how we got to where we are with the libraries. We got to where those were. At one time when I first started serving, Dan Alfonso had the idea. He said that he wanted a dollar invested for every human being in Ulster County in the libraries. So that would have been about $180,000. And we were at that point, and then, you know, all hell let loose, after the, you know, with the jail fiasco and the economy dropping and all kinds of things, and we ended up cutting. But then we used to give to the libraries individually. Each library got a certain amount, and people didn't like that. But what we ended up doing is contracting with the library association, So now all those programs that the Library Association puts online, anybody with a library card in Ulster County can access those programs, which individually the libraries would not be able to afford. For instance, I have a mechanic that fixes I don't have the truck anymore, but I had a 1999 Mazda truck, and he would go online and use the, Chilton's? I think it's Chilton's.
Chilton's, yeah.
Yeah, well, the association was a member of that. So he could actually use his library card and figure out what was wrong with my truck, which I thought pretty cool. And then with the arts, we did a similar thing. And what we do is we have artists get together. They're the ones that decide who gets these various small grants. They're like $1,000, $1,500, $2,000. And it's done by a artist panel. And we put that together. That was back, both of these were done back in the, mid 2000s. 2007 to 2008. And we've always kept that because it really worked very well.
Yes.
Where before that we were, a legislator would put in for, let's give a little money here, a little money there. And it wasn't really working well because, the guy with a little more power was able to get his things funded, but then somebody new wouldn't be able to get anything funded. So this actually works for everybody. But we know that, and I have to explain that every time when I deal with finance, because they don't follow it. They're not going to those places. You have, everybody except the two newer people, but they will. I mean, once this thing breaks, because this is actually my favorite committee, just so you know. I mean, I always enjoyed serving on this committee because it's not a lot of, no real controversy. We do good things, and it's just a nice committee to be a member of.
I agree. It's the most bipartisan committee that any of us, I think, serves on. But before I go to Peter, David, you were supposed to tell me about that pickup truck before you sold it. Peter?
Yes, I was going to say maybe we could just take no action on this for tonight, and then we could regroup and have a real conversation about this document and find out, because I totally agree with what John Parody is saying. Legislator Parody, I completely agree that it feels like we're being gutted, and that just doesn't seem right. I mean, we have a name where it's legislative programs, education, and community services. Those are three major things that happen here in this county, and all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. So I really think that we need to come back to this. Think about what's the mission of this committee, and what are we trying to do, and take back what, not in an aggressive way, but in a, this is this committee, and this is what we are charged to do. And so therefore we should be doing it. So I'd like to suggest that we take no action on this, if that's an appropriate measure, Chairman.
I'm fine with that.
I'll second that motion.
I guess the other thing we could do is to substitute language in here that is more open-ended with respect to the center.
I haven't read it through these eyes, and I would really like the time to sit and really think about it and actually talk with other legislators on this committee, and actually, if we're going to do this, I don't feel like I'm prepared to do this right now.
Okay, I'm fine with that, and appreciate the discussion. So,
Jim, yes. Just one question: Does it affect the funding of these organizations moving forward at this point, since we're so late in the year?
No. It's still in ways and means, but my concern is, in the past we still had to go toward through ways and means, but as Jim would tell you, we always put together a. The executive actually throws in a pot of money. He don't make those decisions. He just throws a pot of money in there. And what we would do is discuss the various items and then put an amendment together. And over the past, I don't know how many years, I usually was the one that would put the amendment in. because prior to this, I, you know, typically chaired this committee or was always on the committee anyway. So, and I, you know, as you know, the little seal, the Ulster County seal, I've been here for so long. I was the one that modeled for that. I agree with Peter. I think, I threw this back in because it ended up all those things went over directly to Ways and Means, which it shouldn't have, but it got put in. I don't think it was anything malice. That wasn't malice in thought. It was the idea that they thought about the idea of better oversight. Okay, well, you know, we're all good for better oversight, I guess. But on the other hand,
what's the better oversight?
Yeah, what is the better oversight? That's a good point, John. I mean, on the other hand, you know, we're the oversight. This committee is the oversight. And we, you know, we have to be cognizant of the idea that, you know, maybe we don't have the money. So that's one of the reasons why in the end, it always goes to Ways and Means. But the point is, typically, if it came from this committee as a whole and this committee voted on it, particularly if it was unanimous, Ways and Means, just, you know, they would accept it. You know, they wouldn't argue the case. I mean, in the end, they're the ones that are supposed to be watching the purse all the time and the closest.
And I would be fine with working closer with Ways and Means, you know, on these various groups. But yeah, to take it all away and then to give these organizations 5 minutes to make a presentation doesn't seem reasonable. So we will take no action on this. Peter, I'd appreciate if you reach out and we'll have some more conversations. All of you, please, you know, let me know what you think about
right.
this. And we'll recommend something for next month.
And let's have a conversation with, Vicky. Vicky to put together the resolution and bring this back in, bring all the items back into this committee. I read through it once, so I may have missed things, but that's the point was I wanted to get this out and I wanted to get this discussion happening in this committee because I do want to make sure that gets put back in here. I don't like the idea of this committee being gutted in that manner, and I've said that to a number of other legislators that I was very upset with this, the way this went down, because like I said, I have, this committee is the one I've always served on from the day I walked through the door of the legislative body. And even then, the committee has made different changes and what actually reported, it's been a little larger, it's been a little smaller, but it's been basically very similar, you know, all along.
Well, you know, thanks for looking out for us. And we'll take no action on this resolution. I think unless someone has anything else to add, I'll move on to new business. None. Any old business? All right. Nettie, I'm going to, as I told you, stop by tomorrow. And for all of you, I'll stop in and talk to Vicky. See what we can get going here. Again, I appreciate your input on this, and I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Yep.
Very good. Well, enjoy your evening, everyone. I know it's going to be a late one.
Thanks. For Thank you.
Right. Thanks, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes. Bye now.
Bye.